Last time we began a study on the book of 1 Corinthians. And we were doing an introduction to the book. And that's where I'd like to pick up today, is to finish out our introduction to the book of 1 Corinthians. And then we'll get into our verse-by-verse study of the book of 1 Corinthians. The prevailing theme of 1 Corinthians is spirit and spiritual. Throughout, we see spiritual things mentioned in chapter 2, verse 13. And then we have spiritual discernment in chapter 2, verse 14. We have spiritual men in chapter 2, verse 15, chapter 3, verse 1, and chapter 14, verse 37. Then we have spiritual seed, chapter 9, verse 11. Spiritual food in chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. Spiritual rock in chapter 10, verse 4. Spiritual gifts in chapter 12, verse 1, and in chapter 14, verse 1. And then spiritual bodies in chapter 15, verses 44 and 46. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Christians are seen as empowered by the Holy Spirit. Chapter 2, verse 4. Enlightened by the Holy Spirit, chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. Indwelt by the Holy Spirit, chapter 3, verse 16. Justified by the Holy Spirit, chapter 6, verse 11. Made a temple by the Holy Spirit, chapter 6, verse 19, enabled by the Holy Spirit, chapter 12, verse 3, gifted by the Holy Spirit, chapter 12, verses 7 through 11, and baptized by the Holy Spirit, chapter 12, verse 13. Now, the two epistles to the Corinthians are marked by the things. First, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, it tells us, searcheth all things. In 1 Corinthians 3:21, we see there it says, all things are yours. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12, we find all things are of God. All things. And then we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 27 to 28, all things under his feet. And now we go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, verse 15. We read, all things are for your sakes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, all things are become new. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, all sufficiency in all things. So we see then the two epistles to the Corinthians are marked by all things. We see that expression used over and over again. And now that concludes the introduction. And now we want to get right into verse by verse study of the book of 1 Corinthians. And what we have in the chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, verses 1 to 9, we have the testimony of Christ in Corinth. In Paul's introduction to his letter to the Corinthians, he mentions several things concerning the testimony of Christ in his life and in the church. Truly, If it weren't for Jesus Christ, we would have nothing about to teach about Corinth except a dead religion and a man's work. But because of the testimony of Jesus Christ, we have much to say. First, let's look at verse 1, chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. We read, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. So here we have Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Here are our comments from the introduction, amen, to Corinth, the book of Corinth. Paul didn't confer apostleship to himself, and men did not give him the title of apostle. See? What we have, then, he was an apostle. How? By the commandment of God. Amen. By the commandment of God. Turn with me, if you would, to chapter 4 of Ephesians, in verse number 11. Ephesians 4:11, we read this, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Amen. That's what God gave to the church. So we see then that Paul, amen, was an apostle, and he was an apostle by the commandment of God. Now, not only that, but he was called, enabled, and put into the ministry by God. Again, verse 1. Paul called, see that, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Amen? He was called, enabled, and put into the ministry. In his epistle, first epistle to Timothy, in chapter 1, verse 12, we read this, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Amen? And not only that, but he had the signs of an apostle. Paul had the signs of an apostle. We read in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, Paul writes, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. So Paul is speaking here to the Corinthians in the second letter to them, saying that he had the signs that were given to the apostle to establish the word of God. Amen. And so he said they were displayed among the Corinthians, that he displayed them, he had them. Not only that, in Romans chapter 15, verse 19, the word of God has this to say, Romans 15, in verse number 19. Romans 15, in verse number 19, we read this, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and around about you unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Amen. And then we see also in Acts chapter 19, 11 to 12, we read this, and God wrought spiritual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Amen. So we see then he was called to be an apostle by God, enabled by God. God gave him the signs of an apostle. And Paul referred to himself as the least of the apostles, as one born out of due time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, And he speaks about those that witnessed, amen, witnessed the resurrection of Christ and saw Christ. He said, and at least of all, he was seen of me also, as one of the born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So like the other apostles, Paul also saw the resurrected Christ. Amen. And that's because there were only the original 12 apostles, amen, that are mentioned over there in Matthew chapter 10, verse 2. Then Matthias was Judas's replacement. Amen. We read in, that's all talked about how Matthias was picked after Judas went out and hung himself. It's all spoken about that what happened there in Acts chapter 1, verses 15 to 26. I encourage you to go and read that account in Acts 1, chapter 15, verse 26. And then Barnabas and James were replacements. In Acts 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John. So we see then, and Barnabas was James's replacement, and then in Acts 14:14, which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran among the people crying out. So here we see that, yes, both Paul and Barnabas are called apostles. Amen. Paul and Barnabas are called apostles. Now, there weren't any other apostles besides these. And their work ends with the end of the Acts of the Apostle. Therefore, there is no such thing as apostolic succession, the continuation of the work of the apostles through a series of bishops. This is a lie concocted by men to confer to themselves authority that God never gave them. It is prevalent in the Catholic Church and among charismatics. The charismatics use it to prove that they have the apostolic sign gifts, and the Catholics use it to prove they have authority over the Christian Church. Both are wrong. Now, going again, looking at verse 1 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, in that verse, we'll read it again, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother. So he says Sosthenes was a brother in Christ. We see that Sosthenes became the chief ruler of the synagogue in Corinth after Crispus got saved. In Acts chapter 18, verse 1, it says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And then we want to look at verse 8 of Acts 18, which says, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. And then in chapter 18 of the book of Acts, verse 17, we read this. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Galileo cared for none of those things. So then after Paul had been in Corinth for 18 months, The Jews made insurrection against Paul. Looking in Acts 18:12. And when Gallio was deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. Amen. And they brought him to Gallio's judgment seat. When Gallio refused to hear their case, the Greeks retaliated against the Jews and beat Sosthenes. Even after all of this, Sosthenes got saved and stood with Paul for Jesus Christ. Jesus is worthy, is he not? Now we go on, continuing our verse by verse of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 2. Under the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, both theirs and ours. When Paul writes to the church of God, we have the church of God at Corinth was Christ's. When Paul writes to the church of God, as here, or about the church of God, as in Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, he is writing to or about them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. In Galatians 1, 13, it says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." So when he's talking to the church of God, he's writing to or about them that are sanctified or set apart by Christ Jesus. Amen? So then, he's addressing, in other words, saved believers in the body of Christ who are living in Corinth in this letter. Now, there's an ongoing argument among Baptists about the church. Some Baptists believe that the church is always a reference to a local church. The problem stems from a misunderstanding of the body of Christ. All saved people are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ and comprise the church. Let's look at some references. Scripture, comparing scripture with scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. The word of God has this to say, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized in one body, whether be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So that was 1 Corinthians 12:13. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. The Word of God says, "Give none offense, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God." Now, then in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians 5, if you would, and we're going to look at verses 30 to 32. Ephesians 5, 30 to 32 with me, if you would. In Ephesians 5, verses 30 to 32, the words of Almighty God have this to say, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is the great mystery I speak concerning Christ and the church." Christ and the church. And then, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 to 23, the words of God say this, "And hath put all things under his feet, and given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So this body is Christ's literal resurrected body, which is seated in heaven. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, the word of God tells us, and he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, my dear listener, if you're saved, you're born again, you're a member of that body of Christ, you are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Amen? And that's where physically someday we will abide. Amen? So if you go to heaven right now, you would see this body at the right hand of God. This body is visible. And only those saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ are in it. As a matter of fact, all who are saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, amen, are in it. And hence the body is not what some call a universal invisible church as taught by Catholicism. But it's not just a local church either. At times you must discern when reading a verse about the church, whether Paul is referring to a local church or to the body of Christ. They're not the same thing. Amen? Because we know in the local church, there are unsaved people in the local church. Amen? So here Paul is writing to the saints who are in a local church in Corinth. And he addresses these believers as the church of God, which is at Corinth. So Paul is not writing to a church called the church of God any more than he was writing about churches called the church of Christ. In Romans 16, verse 16, Paul said, "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." Amen. Now, the next thing we want to see in verse 2 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians is this. The saints were sanctified in Christ Jesus. Again, verse 2 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus." That is, they and we are washed, sanctified, and justified as soon as we are saved. Amen? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, the words of God say this, "In such were some of you." And Paul is talking about to the Corinthians, saying, this is how you were before you were saved. He listed a bunch of things, but he says, "But ye are washed," since you got saved, "but you're sanctified," but you're justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. And then in Hebrews 10, verse 10, the words of God tell us, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, the words of God say, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." And thus, we are saints. As saints, we're sanctified in Christ Jesus. Amen. There is more to the doctrine of sanctification. But this part of the doctrine explains why we can be called saints now. Saints are therefore not dead people who have this title conferred upon them by some church after their death. If you're saved, born again, sanctified in Christ, then you are a saint. Then you are a saint. So as one preacher said, you're either you ain't or you're a saint. You ain't a saint or you're a saint. Amen? So if you're born again and saved, you are a saint of God. Then we see also in verse 2 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians that the Corinthians, they were saved by the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 2 again, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Under the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, amen, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours, amen. So we see then that those at Corinth, as we are, those that are saved by the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. They were saved by calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As it says in Scripture, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we are told that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. We must be saved. All people in every place must call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Romans 10, verses 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, then, and only then, he becomes their Savior and ours. When you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to stop there today. What we'll pick up our verse-by-verse study in the book of 1 Corinthians next time we come together on the Pastor's Study. May God richly bless each and every one of you. Is my prayer, and good day.